With that introduction, friends, I'll ask Richard to speak to us on Bible prophecies about Israel.
So this morning I want to look at four miraculous prophecies about Israel. Now in the Bible we are told that Israel is the geographic centre of the continents. In Ezekiel 5 verse 5 it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her." And we're also told that Israel is the centre of prophecy. It was from the land of Israel that the word of God came forth through prophets such as Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah and Jeremiah in the Old Testament times, and also through the apostles in New Testament times. Now prophecy is pre-written history, and the land of Israel is the only land belonging to God's people. The details of Israel's future are given to us in Bible prophecy. So to know what God's plans are for the future, we need to study prophecies on Israel in Scripture. So let's look at the first prophecy on Israel, how Israel came to be a nation. And let's go to Genesis chapter 12, where we read of the father of the nation of Israel, Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 12, and verses 1 to 5, we read, "Now the Lord has said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So what promises from God to Abram do we find in these five verses? Well, he says, "I will make of you a great nation." He says, "I will bless you and make your name great, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." And then further on in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Now the great nation that God was speaking of was the land of Israel, which at this time was known as Canaan. In these three verses in Genesis 13, the Lord is renewing his promises to Abraham, that Abraham and his seed would inherit what was to become the most famous of all the lands, the Holy Land of Israel. And if we go to Genesis 18 and verse 18, it says, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of." So in these verses, God is giving Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, the promise of a son and descendants. He tells Abraham that through his son, all nations of the world will be blessed. And the son of Abraham was Isaac, whose birth we read of in Genesis chapter 21, and verses 2 and 3, where it says, "For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac." So God promised the land of Israel to Abram, Isaac and their descendants, the Jewish people. It was a firm promise which was and is irrevocable. In Genesis 15, verse 18, it says, "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates." So, moving on, the next prophecy about Israel is its miraculous preservation. Now, we've just seen how God brought about the nation of Israel, but also keeps Israel as a miraculous nation. Now, King David was one of Abraham's descendants, and in Psalm 89, God speaks of his preservation of the nation of Israel. Let's just go to Psalm 89 and begin reading at verse 18, where it says, "For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, mine also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, in my name shall his song be exalted." And then further on in verse 27, "Also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him for evermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." So in these verses, God is declaring that the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David will endure. But in verse 30, it continues by saying, "If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips." God said that the Jews would disobey him, and they did. God said that the Jews would be dispersed from the land of Israel, and they were. God said that the Jews would be discredited, they would become a proverb and a byword, and they were. Now, time and time again in the Bible, we read of how the Jews were taken from their homeland because of their disobedience. But the longest dispersion from their homeland began in May AD 70. When the city of Jerusalem was besieged by Titus and 65,000 Roman soldiers. And this had been predicted by Jesus 40 years earlier, his Mount Olivet prophecy. In It's either Luke 20 or Luke 21. I've got Luke 21 in my notes and Luke 20 on the screen. Anyway, it's Luke 20 or Luke 21, verse 21. No, verse 20. I'll read them out for you. "And when you shall see Jerusalem comes with armies, and the note of desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Now in September AD 70, the city of Jerusalem fell to the Romans, and the temple was burned, as you've seen the picture on the screen, and it was completely destroyed. And many Jews were taken as captives to Rome, fulfilling the words of Jesus in Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So when Jerusalem fell in AD 70, as I've said, many Jews were taken captive to Rome. However, some remained behind, and AD 132, a revolt against the Romans began. This revolt was eventually crushed by the Romans in AD 135. Many more Jews were taken from their homeland, which slowly and slowly became emptier, and the nation of Israel ceased to exist. Just as God said it would happen in Deuteronomy 28, which was written close to 1500 years before. Let's just go to Deuteronomy 28 and begin reading at verse 49. Verse 49 of Deuteronomy 28. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favour to the young. He shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. Verse 52, he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and walled fence comes down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. He shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Now you'll notice in verse 49 that this nation is described as swift as the eagle flieth. Now the most famous standard of the Roman Empire was the aquila or eagle, which was the symbol of a Roman legion. So in verse 49 here, God is saying, it's the nation of Rome that I'm going to bring against you. So the real main dispersion of Jews from Israel began in AD 135. As God said it would happen, the Jews were scattered throughout the world because of their constant rebellion against him, fulfilling many Old Testament prophecies, one of which is in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 64. Deuteronomy 28 verse 64, the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. There thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, thou shalt fear day and night, shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, will God it were even, at even thou shalt say, will God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Now by 300 AD the Jews had settled in every country of the Roman Empire except for Great Britain. Now in verse 65 God says that in these countries they will find no ease and they will be discredited. Now in most of the countries the Jews tried to settle in during their dispersion, they were either persecuted or driven from the country itself. Now on the slide here we have a list of countries that the Jews were driven from and persecuted during their dispersion. There we have the list of countries, France, Britain, Germany, Spain, etc. Now you'll notice here there's roughly a period of 300 years from 1182 to 1492. Now these years were particularly hard for the Jews due to the Crusades. Now the Crusades led to the Jews becoming the most hated religious sect in Europe and were cast out of every country in Europe. They had to move into other countries where they were also not wanted. They were accepted for a short time in Spain, but the Spanish Inquisition came along and they were eventually cast out of Spain in 1492. And the Jews continued to be treated this way throughout the 16th, 17th, and 18th and 19th centuries. And then, as I'm sure we know, the greatest persecution of the Jews came during the Second World War, when Adolf Hitler attempted to exterminate them all. And yet, despite the persecution, the Nazi Holocaust, the Crusades, the persecution down the ages, the Jews have survived as a race. They retain their identity because God said he will not break his covenant with them. Psalm 89 verse 34 once again says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. And in Leviticus 26 and verse 44, God says, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. So here in Leviticus we have a clear promise from God that despite the persecutions they would endure, the Jews would survive as a race. And in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, it says, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. And Jeremiah 46, verse 28, fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all the nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. And finally, in Jeremiah 33, verse 25, thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinance of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob. So in these verses, God is clearly saying that as sure as night follows day, the Jewish race would continue. So why? Well, this leads us on to look at the third prophecy about Israel. Why did God want them to survive? Well, because the Jews are his chosen people. They are his witnesses to his existence and the fulfillment of his promises to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 6 to 8. God says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the earth which hath sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And then in Isaiah 43, verses 10 to 12, God says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord beside me, there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, and there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Now when you look at what the Jews have gone through, just ask yourself, what are the odds of the Jews surviving all that and retaining their identity on their own by chance? It's incomprehensible. Any other race would either have integrated into the countries they were in or died off, but not the Jews, because God said, although I will punish you and make an example of you, I will not make a full end of you, because you are my witnesses, and I will bring you back into your own land. And in 1948, against all the odds, the state of Israel was reborn, and the Jews returned in their thousands, fulfilling numerous Old Testament prophecies. Now, we read Ezekiel chapter 37 to start with. Let's just go back to Ezekiel 37 and read again verses 11 to 14. Ezekiel 37, verses 11 to 14. Then he said unto me, son of man, These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, and I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. I shall put my spirit in you, ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And then in verse 21, and saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. So why is it important to us that the nation of Israel has been reborn and is in existence today? Well, this leads on to look at the fourth prophecy in Israel. It's important to us because in the Bible we are told that when we see Israel reborn and flourishing as a nation, then the return of Jesus to the earth is very near. Now in the Bible it is often referred to as a fig tree. For example, Hosea 9 verse 10 says, when I found Israel, it was like finding grapes in the desert. When I saw your fathers, it was like seeing the early fruit on the fig tree. In Matthew 24, Jesus gives us his Mount Olivet prophecy. And he tells us of things that will happen in the world before he returns. And in verse 32, he speaks of the fig tree Israel, he says. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So Jesus is saying here, when you see Israel reborn and flourishing as a nation, then know that my return is very near. Jesus will return to the earth very soon to establish the everlasting kingdom of God on earth. And we can be 100% certain it will happen because, as we've seen this morning, the Jews have survived, the nation of Israel has been reborn, and like the fig tree in summer, is now a flourishing nation. But in the Bible we are told that before he returns, things will get worse for the Jews once again. We're told that the land of Israel will be invaded again, it will be defeated, and the Jews will be taken away captive once more. Prophesies of this in the prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 14. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, houses rifled, women ravished, and half of the city, half of Jerusalem shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. But the Bible tells us this is the final time the Jews will be taken into captivity. In the next verse we read, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his, the Lord Jesus' feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley. And after the mountain shall remove toward the north, and after it toward the south. So his feet, the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, will set foot on the Mount of Olives. He will return to save God's chosen people and to establish God's kingdom. And God wants you to be a part of his kingdom. His invite is contained in his most holy word. All you have to do is accept it, believe it, and be baptized into the saving name of Jesus Christ. So we've looked at four prophecies about Israel this morning. We've seen how the nation of Israel came into being thousands of years ago, the miraculous preservation, why the Jewish race have survived down the ages, and God's future plans for Israel, which involve the return of Jesus and the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. I'll leave you this morning with the words of the prophet Ezekiel from chapter 11 and verses 16 and 17, which speak of God's everlasting covenant with the Jews and the nation of Israel. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Though I remove them far from among the nations, and though I scatter them among the countries, yet have I been a sanctuary to them for a while in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel.